Nehemiah chapter 4 in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to look at 16, 17, and 18 for a few moments tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. You may think it, and the kids may especially think it, a little early to be talking about school, but honestly, it's only a few weeks away. It's about, 7 weeks out? If that far, maybe 6 weeks out now from school starting. It's unbelievable. Of course, some of you folks have your education at home. You go all year round. Some of you have stopped for the summer. And I want to talk a little bit about our academy for a little bit tonight and let our church know exactly what all is going on and just bring your attention to the academy a little bit tonight. Let's stand together, please. Verses 16 through 18 of Nehemiah 4. Let me read verse 16 and 18. Would you please join me on verse 17? And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows. The habergeons and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. My dear Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for all the applications we can take from it. Lord, we thank you for the story of Nehemiah and the great example of leadership and servitude he demonstrated to the city of Jerusalem and those men and women that worked with him to see that wall rebuilt 52 days. God's amazing story, and I'm glad you put it in the Holy Word for us, preserved it. We can not only know what happened back then, but Lord, we can apply it to certain matters right now. And I pray that you'll help me tonight. God bless our school and help it. And I pray that you'll make it strong. I pray that you'll make the parents who are part of the school strong. And we'll thank you for it. Bless the song and our message to follow. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you.
Offering praise before the Lord was not a land.
Thank you, ladies, for that good song this evening. I'm going to speak to you a little bit on the subject of building and battling. Building and battling in Nehemiah chapter 4. You see that in verse number 17. Then that they which builded on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. So building and battling. My dear Father, help us tonight. I pray that you'll lead me through the message. I pray, God, that you'll help me to deliver my heart to the people this evening. Pray, God, that you'll keep our school on course. Be with us, I pray. Be with us as we approach another school year, as we, Lord, try to honor you and glorify you. And I'll be careful to thank you for it. Bless those that teach at home, those mothers who labor in that work, along with everything else that they do. Give them grace, Lord, discipline. May it go well. And I pray, Lord, that all over the auditorium, children will be raised up in families in the nurture and admonition of you and your book. May we be, Lord, as shining lights in this world, testimonies of your grace, not conforming and being just like the world, unable to be different, no difference whatsoever. But God, may we hold to what you want us to be, a peculiar people. God, may we do that, Lord, in the ministry of the school. Well, thank you for your help tonight in Jesus' name and amen. This is one of those familiar Bible stories in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, hears from his brother and some other men that the wall of Jerusalem and the gates that support that wall around the city are torn down. Very, very dangerous. That's their protection. That keeps everybody inside the city safe. It keeps the enemy at bay. Nehemiah hears this. His heart is burdened, brokenhearted. He goes to the king, who notices that his countenance has fallen. And boy, you know, that's a message in and of itself right there. Your countenance says so much about what's going on in your heart. Your countenance so much. Windows to your soul. And so the king sees him. What's the problem, Nehemiah? You're sad. You've never been sad before in my presence. And so brokenheartedly, Nehemiah tells him about the situation in Jerusalem, and he seeks a leave of absence to go to his homeland. And he led an expedition of men there to rebuild the walls. Interesting. I love the story. It's amazing to me that Nehemiah would not stop the wall rebuilding project for God. Once he got started, he didn't come off that wall. He was willing to take a leave of absence from his work to go and work nonstop for the city of God. I don't think you ought to be a slouch at work. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we ought to do any less serving God at church than we do, see, you know, working out there in the field somewhere. Nehemiah wouldn't come off that wall. He said, this is a great work. Now, the project, you remember, it's completed in 52 days. Wall is rebuilt, and the gates are restored, and the people are safe, and everything's great. And at this particular place in the story, we're not done yet with the 52 days at this place in the story, chapter 4. Here comes Sanballat, here comes Tobiah, here comes the Ammonites and the Arabians and some of the others. And they attempt to stop this rebuilding project. They brought much opposition to it verbally. They brought much opposition to it physically. Nehemiah thought they could that they would attack. He looked for them actually to storm the walls. So he took the men who were already building with their trowels and their tools, and he put a weapon in their other hand. And he gave all the men a spear or a sword or whatever. So the men had a trowel and they had a weapon. They had a tool with which to build and they had a weapon to battle. Half of the men built it on the wall. The other half stood guard with the weapons, watching out for the enemy. And that went on for so long and they'd switch. Then the other half would build, the other half would watch. And so they had two things. They had a tool and they had a weapon. A trowel in one hand and a weapon, sword, spear, in the other. At a moment's notice, they were ready to build or battle as necessary. A tool to build and a weapon to battle. Now, as I read this passage of Scripture some months ago, my mind was drawn as I read it, my heart was drawn to our academy. And what I believe we are attempting to do for your children, for my kids, for the students of Faith Baptist Academy. This is a great picture of our goal. This is a great picture of our purpose for each student that's enrolled at Faith Baptist Academy. Now, by the way, this is not a message tonight about Christian education versus secular education, whether or not you should have your kids in a Christian school. I'm not even going to go there tonight. Brother Esposito paid some homage to it on Tuesday night. God's been voted out of the public school by our Supreme Court. And you can't read the Bible there, or, you know, they say you can't, and no prayer and all that stuff. Of course, you can talk about Allah, and you can talk about Muhammad, and you can talk about everybody else's God, but you can't bring Jesus into the situation, the picture. And, public school, you're taking a gamble. You can't, just are. And I want to talk about our church school. I know some of you educate at home, and I'm for you doing that if you do a good job at it. And so I thought about our school when I read this passage here. As a school, we would like to graduate young people from 12th grade someday with a tool in one hand and a sword in the other, preparing them to build and battle. Build and battle. Believe it. You parents know it. Believe it. You young people can believe it. You get out of high school, on into college, and on into education beyond your high school years. The rest of your life will be spent building or battling. Now, you'll have some time for fun and games, but that'll be very limited. The bulk of your life will be spent building and battling. Most of your time will be spent building and battling. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about building, doing something productive with your life. Doing something productive, that young people, doing something productive with their life. It could be the ministry or another vocation that is honest and that is decent. Young men will be expected to provide for a family and be a contributing member of society, not a leech sucking off of society. Someone putting something into society. That's what we want. That's what I'm talking about by building. The young ladies will probably have a husband and children and live in some type of home or apartment and cleaning and cooking and caring for the family and washing and so forth and building. All the young people will be building. Everyone will be involved in some kind of building project with their life. Contributing something to society, contributing something in their vocation, contributing something in the ministry, building with their life, being productive. That's what David prayed for the youth of Israel. He prayed that the sons might be as plants grown up in their youth. Friend, plants contribute so much to our well-being. So much. So I think it's very interesting that David said they'd be as plants grown up in their youth. Something productive, a productive part of society. We have too many people that are just sucking from society. Not many people putting into it anymore. And we want to graduate people that know how to build with their life. Very productive in society. And then I think about battling. What's the battling part? What's the battling have to do? If you're determined to live for God, you'll have to battle against the enemy the rest of your life. He's relentless. He was here in Nehemiah's day. The enemy came, and they came, and they came. And that's a good picture of Satan coming against the productivity of the Christian life. He comes, and he comes, and he comes. This is why Nehemiah handed out weapons. The enemy was lurking. The enemy would attack. They would come against the wall. The enemy was against what they were building. The enemy was against their project. The enemy was relentless and lurking. And Satan will come, and he will never leave you alone. He's going to come, and he's going to bombard you with temptation. He's going to come and bombard you with distraction and discouragement. He'll back off for a while, and then boom, he comes again, and he never lets up. And so if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to battle against that the rest of your life. The rest of your life. And not just against Satan. You've got to battle against your own flesh. You've got to war against the world. This is what I'm talking about. We want to graduate young people who know how to build and battle, a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. Dad, Mom, that's what we are trying to accomplish here in the ministry of Faith Baptist Academy. And I'll say this, folks. There's not many churches that have been ruined by Faith Promise Missions programs. Not many churches that have been ruined by soul-winning ministries. Not many churches that have been ruined by radio ministries. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of churches that have bitten the dust because of music ministries gone awry and schools gone unsupervised. Too loose. and led the church into all kind of situations, and eventually wags the tail wags the dog, and you got a bad situation when that's going on. And that's what, by the grace of God, I am determined to prevent happening here at Faith Baptist Church. Tools to build. Tools to build. This is why there are classes. This is why there's homework. This is why there are assignments. This is why there's memorization. This is why there are projects and papers and term papers and quizzes and tests and reports and exams. We have all of those things because they're putting tools in the hands of those young people that they'll hopefully use someday to go out and be a productive builder in society. You got to have all that. To build, you have to know how to read. Reading is a tool. Communication, how important is it? How important is it to know how to read, to know how to write, to be able to communicate? That is a necessary part of a productive member of society. And you've got math, and you've got science, and you've got writing, and you've got grammar, and you've got reading. All of these are tools to help young people build, put a tool in their hand, build a life, a productive life, building for their society. And parents, I'm going to ask you, and I know we're not in school yet, but 6-7 weeks, and we will be there. And I'm getting a head start on this for a reason tonight. But don't fight against the school when we're trying to put tools in the hands of your young people. Sometimes there's too much whining about homework. Too much whining about that. Too much whining about this. Too much whining about that. Why is this so hard? Why is this so heavy? And so much of this, so much of that. It's trying to hand them tools so they'll have something to build with when they leave school someday. That's what it's all about. You do yourself a favor to check on your kids' work every night. Check on your kids' work every night and encourage them and work with them and help them and help them get their work done and get it in on time. And don't be slouchy about it. If you're slouchy about that, you're not on the same page with us. If you're careless about them and what kind of work they got to do and getting their assignments in and stuff like that, you're not on the same page with us because that's important to us. It's hopefully, too many Christian schools have just been glorified playlands. We just, you know, go through and have a good time, quote a few Bible verses, and they come out and they don't know anything. We don't want to graduate young people with that kind of thing. I appreciate the ones that have gone through the school and have worked hard academically. And I know it's not as stringent as some places, but buddy, they do well. And when they go to colleges, they test out a bonehead English. Many times they test out a bonehead math. They don't have to take those courses because they've been taught here with the help of mom and dad at home. And we try to instill in them that kind of knowledge and ability to have that tool to go to work to be a builder in society. Be a builder in society. Don't be something that takes from it. Be a builder, something that puts it in. Tools to build. And then weapons to battle. Weapons to battle. Now, you know, in some public schools, it is possible to get the tools. Some public schools, that's not, they're still interested in academic education. But in a Christian environment, in a Christian school environment, you not only have the advantage of getting the tools with which to build, you have the advantage of getting the weapon for battle. And there is only one weapon when it comes to doing battle. That is this book right here. Bible class, devotions, chapel, the book of Proverbs in homeroom for the high school, church services, TNT, soul winning time. All of this is designed to help the young people get familiar with their weapon. I love to read about the men in the Bible who were trained in the use of weaponry. I love to read about those guys in the Old Testament who could use a slingshot and sling a rock with either the right hand or the left hand. Read about those guys? What do they call it? Ambidextrous? They were trained to do that. Those men in the Bible that were trained in the use of bows and arrows, those men in the Bible that were trained in the use of the spear and the sword, they knew their weapon. Their weapon, a ready weapon, a powerful weapon, helped them. And this weapon will help our young people battle all the rest of their life. If they get away from it, they will be vulnerable. If they stick with it, they will win. They will win. This weapon helps them learn respect for authority. You'll never go anywhere in life if you don't have any respect for authority. Begins at home and carries right through onto the job, doesn't it, men? Even in society. Respect for authority. This weapon helps them to learn discipline. This weapon helps them to learn to fear God. And a healthy fear of God is a good thing. It is a good thing. In fact, the Bible tells us that the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't even properly begin to learn truth, knowledge, wisdom without a biblical, healthy fear of God. And this weapon will help the young people have that. This weapon will help them learn that which is good in life. I think of what Paul said in Romans chapter 16, verse number 19. He wrote the church and he said, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know, the public school is just about opposite on that. They're just about reversed on that. Especially in the high schools, they seem to want to have the desire, just expose the boys and girls to everything that is base and vile and hide truth and good from them. The Christian school is just the opposite. This Christian school is designed to help the young people learn that which is good. In government schools, young people are not given tools to build or weapons to battle. And the truth of the matter is, we have a society out there full of broken down men and women. I'm not talking old men and women. I'm talking about young men and young women broken down. Young men and young women whose lives are scarred and ruined and devastated in their 20s. We don't want that for the kids of Faith Baptist Academy. Now, if you don't believe it, just go visiting. Get out of the four walls of your house. Get out of your vehicle and get on the streets. And knock on some doors. And count how many broken down, devastated people in their 20s. Debt is piled a mile high. There's no marriage, there's no relationship that honors God. It is a wreck. But when you teach them that they come from monkeys, you don't give them any hope about where they're going, ain't a reason or purpose for being here, what do you expect? We got a society full of that today. Now, we're trying to take the young people that you send to school here, your young people, my young people, and we're trying to put a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. A tool with which to build and a weapon with which to battle. Now, parents, let me say that this school, Faith Baptist Academy, is not for just any child who wants to come here. It never has been that way. Our purpose for school is not evangelism. Our purpose for school is to put a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. And the church was here before the school. School started, I came here, there was a school, we closed it. That was part of the conditions of coming here. Some of you that were here back then remember that. Agreed to close it. And thank God for Brother Woodward, who took the young people for 5 years to First Baptist Church in Dwight. And took the young people over there and they received a good education. Some of the folks that are here in church now graduated in those years over there at Dwight Baptist Academy. 1995, our churches started to grow. We were traveling 45, 50 minutes by bus across the way there. We had people who lived 15, 20 miles from church. For them, it wasn't logistically even made sense to go to Dwight. So we had to start a school. And so we came to the church and in 1995, in the fall of 95, we reopened a school, renamed it. We named it Faith Baptist Academy. It used to be Faith Baptist Christian School. The years gone by, it became Faith Baptist Academy. And the church was years old before the school started. The church was 5 years under my leadership before the school started. And we always intended for the school to be under the canopy of the church for the church to oversee the school, to run the school, not vice versa. And that's not as easy as it sounds. Our school is not designed for parents who are only interested in having a place for their kids to go to school to be protected from the evils of the public schools. Our school is not made for that. Our school is for parents who believe in and are a part of this local church ministry. Okay? That's what the school was started for. That's what it's here for. If you believe in Sunday school, if you believe in Sunday morning services, Sunday night services, if you believe in King's Kids, if you believe in TNT, if you believe in Wednesday night Bible study, if you believe in missions conferences, if you believe in revival services, if you just believe in church, then this school is designed to help you prepare your child to build and to battle. Now, if you don't believe in those things, this school's really not designed for your child. And that's all in the handbook. And by the way, I told somebody the other day, I don't think our handbook demands super Christian. I think our handbook is just the outflow of a regular, dedicated Christian life. So it's not super bionic Baptist. It's just being a good, dedicated Christian. If church is secondary to you, then your kids are not going to get along well at the school. It's not going to go well. I sat down with Brother Don. We've sat down 2 or 3 times, and he and I looked at things in the rule book. You know, we said, you know what? We need to tighten some of these rules, not loosen them. Time to tighten them up. And if your kids want to work a job, if they get into high school and they want to work a job, you better make sure that you get a job, you get them a job that is flexible, so that they don't miss Wednesday nights, missions conferences, revival conferences, church services to go to work. Because if that's how you're going to do it, we're not on the same page. Well, our kids need to learn how to work. Yes, that's true. And it may be a little bit of a deal sometimes in this day and age to get them to the place where they could get a job and have something to work. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to sacrifice church services to teach them how to work. And so that's in the handbook. And I'll tell you something else, parents. They're staying out till 1:30, till 12:30 and 1 o'clock and 1:30 in the morning on Saturday night, and I'm watching your kids sleep through church on Sunday. I don't know how wise that is. I don't think that's very wise, in fact. We're not on the same page. You know, sometimes kids want to get in school or get back in school. You know, they come to the office and, what do I need to do to get back in school? You know, I thought the other day, you know, if I have to tell a kid how to behave, then they're going to go out to be seen of me to behave a certain way. What we're looking for is young people whose lives are the outflow of just a dedicated Christian life. If church and serving God and being a good Christian is what you are and what you want your kids to be, then that handbook's not going to be a problem to you. Now, if you want something different from that, different than that, then that handbook could be a problem. Sports will continue to be second place. Third place, maybe. It's not the emphasis. We had to make some decisions this week about the gymnasium over there. We need to put a scoreboard in there. The old scoreboard is not being transferred over to the new building. Screwing in the light bulbs. Brother Don going up on the ladder, screwing in the light bulbs before every game. You know, we got to looking at all these things that are available. Should we put one on this end and one on that end, this and that and everything? What we decided on was this one right in the middle that hangs down and has a big video screen, amen, and replays, and we can advertise the concession stand up there, you know, and all this stuff. I don't think so. And I told Brother Don, I said, you know, I think First Baptist Church in Hammond, that's a pretty good sized ministry, has been for a number of years. I think they have one scoreboard on the opposite side from the bleachers where the people sit. And, you know, the teams sit on the front row of the bleachers so everybody can see the one scoreboard clock.
And, you know, the time's running down. The basket's down here. They have to turn. You know, and we were getting into thousands of thousands and thousands of dollars. And we just said, whoop. What's the priority? Sports is not the priority. Not the priority. Hasn't been, won't be. If that's what you want for your young man, you want him to play 26 basketball games, we're not going to have that. We're going to have a few. Hopefully this year we'll be able to have some in the new gymnasium. That'll be a lot of fun. But that's what we'll do. Worldly look, if that's what you want your children to be a part of, then that's really not what we're interested in at the school. Not interested in a school with guys, all this bedhead stuff, this just literally. I mean, it used to be that you wanted to do something to yourself when you got out of bed before you were seen by people. You remember that? Now you want to look like you just got out of bed. And you do. And you look freaky. And you look weird. And you look worldly. You look like Hollywood. Like the homosexual crowd looks. That's what you look like. We don't need that in the Christian school. This is a wonderful instrument right here. Some of you need to learn how to use it. I'm not kidding. Oh, you've seen some of these modern preachers. They're the same way. That's what they got. That's right. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a part of an undisciplined. There goes number 408. Amen. So we sat down and we sat down with the rule book and we didn't see, okay, let's see how can we get more students. Let's see, so, you know, how can we tighten this? You said, not really. Yeah, really. Yeah, really. Because I've seen too many schools lead a church in a direction that the church never wanted to go to begin with. And that's what I don't want to be part of. We're not looking for military clones. I have a little different attitude about our school than some of my own friends in the ministry. They'll say that their Christian school is designed to train preachers and missionaries and evangelists and full-time workers. If you're not interested in that, don't come to school. I have a different attitude about that. Because God's not going to call everybody into the ministry. And a banker needs a Christian education just like a preacher does. An accountant needs a Christian education just like a missionary does. So our school is not just for people who want to be preachers and evangelists and missionaries and the wives. Our school is for young people who are on the same page with us. Our school is for the families of this church who believe in serving God and being dedicated to God and having a Christian home and a Christian environment in which to rear the children up at home and at church and at school. And when they come to school, we're looking to do two things. We're not looking to fight against bad behavior and all. We're trying to put a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other so they can build and so they can battle with their lives. That's what we're interested in. Now, you're going to have to make the choice. If you want to be involved in community things that take your kids out of church services, Bible conferences, missions conferences, Wednesday nights, then you're not on the same page with us when it comes to the school. We are looking for people whose hearts are at the church. Who love God, love the church. Here's what we're looking for. Parents on the same page with us, interested in your young people getting an academic education that will prepare them to build a productive, contributing life in our society. We are committed to helping them have the tools with which to build. We're committed to that. Through the test scores and other things, trying to gauge their progress and their studies. And we are committed to that. We're committed to that. We don't want to engage them in all kinds of things helping around the church that take them out of the classroom. We minimize that. We try to keep them in the school, in the study, doing the work, because we want them to get an academic education. We're also interested in them getting familiar with the only book that is referred to as the Sword of the Spirit. And that will be accomplished at school and at church. Now, I wish I could stand here tonight and say that we're sitting at 100% graduation rate, you know, over the past, what is it now, 11 graduating classes, I think. I wish we could say that we're at 100% of them out there with a tool and a sword. We tried. I really believe we tried. But sometimes, you know, you can't give a kid a tool or a weapon when they're like this. But I'll tell you what, ones that came through like this, I could stand here tonight and call the names of many who came out of the Christian school with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other, and they have become productive, contributing members to society, and they're still holding to that weapon, and it's keeping them in the battle, and they're overcoming by the grace of God and going on to make their lives count for the Lord. I could tell you about some of those. I didn't know Mary Esposito was going to be here tonight till I came back to the church and caught the voicemail messages. I got a nice note from Mary this week after they'd been here on Tuesday night. She just was praising God in the note. I wish I'd brought it to the pulpit. She was praising God in the note. She could still come to Faith Baptist Church and find it basically the same place it was when she was a young teenager here. Some years and years and years ago now. Amen. And by the way, I don't know where you're sitting tonight, teacher, when you taught Mary Campbell. I don't know where you're sitting, Sunday school teacher, when you taught Mary Campbell. I know some of you brought her to church. Donna Griffin was telling me that when Mary got to the age where she got her driver's license, she would drive the Griffin kids to school. And the Griffin kids complained because she only drove 45 miles an hour. The tortoise and the hare. Amen. I want to say to any of you who taught that lady out there in Sunday school, any of you who taught that lady there, some years in the Christian school, you taught her in a class. You probably didn't know it. That quiet, introvert Mary Campbell sitting in that class would be married and a pastor's wife in a church running over 1,000 in Long Beach, California. You didn't know that. But that's who was sitting in your class. Remarkable place. I remember those letters, you know, when Brother Joe and Mary first went out there and they started winning those teenagers to Christ. They kept talking about the teenagers and the teenagers and the teenagers. And we got this man in our school and the teenagers and the teenagers and the teenagers. Well, those teenagers stayed at it and they grew up. They trained them and loved them and brought them up in what I'm talking about tonight, tools and weapons. They taught them to build and they taught them to battle. And they're out there in that part of California where the computers and all that stuff, and now they have jobs. And I was there the night that between a cash offering and commitments, they committed over $1 million to the building out there. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. And Mary Esposito Campbell back in those days sat in those classrooms, and she was handed some tools with which to build, and she was handed some a weapon with which to battle. And for now, for these many years, the faithful wife of Dr. Joe Esposito and that wonderful church, Pacific Baptist Church, there in Long Beach, California, and a productive member of society, still faithfully serving God. That's the goal. That's the purpose. So we're about 6 weeks out from school and looking over things. And boy, if you want to involve your kids in a school with the same purpose and the same goals that we have, we welcome you. If your goals are different, I don't know if we get along good or not. I really don't know. Because I have no intention of loosening the screws. I have every intention of keeping that thing just as tight as we need to keep it to make sure that it doesn't lead our church down the direction we don't want to go. I don't want Mary Esposito to come visit her family someday. Now, she said in that note, I don't know where I would be without the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. And if Jesus stays in heaven, and they stay out in California for 20 years, and she comes back here to visit her sister and other family members, I don't want her to have to go somewhere else to church. Because Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais went off a different direction. Because sports became the main emphasis. Or looking like the world became the end thing. And we got away from making it. We got away from what made us what we are. Building and battling. A tool to build and a weapon to battle. And leave out of here with a diploma in hand to go out and be a productive servant of God in whatever capacity God puts you in. That's our goal. Amen. That's our purpose. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I appreciate your patience with more of a positional type message tonight for our church ministry visitors. I appreciate your patience with this type of message on this type of night. But I knew it's what God wanted us to say this evening. My dear Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to have a Christian school ministry. I thank you for the many who have come through our halls, for those that have graduated, Lord, that still have a tool and a weapon in both hands. God, have become productive members of society, still faithfully serving you. I pray for this upcoming school year. I pray, God, that you'll work in hearts. Give us students, parents, moms, dads, all on the same page together, desiring to live for you and serve you with all of our heart. And educate children to the glory and honor of God the Father. God, please, be with our academy. Keep us on course. Bless Brother Don, the faculty. Help me, dear Lord. Give us a student body hungry to live for you and learn all they can. Get as many tools as possible. Bless us, I pray, tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I didn't preach on the matter of salvation tonight, but let me ask a question. Is there somebody here who would say, Brother Angel, I don't know if I died right now where I would go. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Every person that leaves this world is going to go to heaven or hell, one or the other. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know that I have a home in heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? If you're here tonight, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I would invite you to come. If you haven't done that, I would invite you to come tonight and be obedient to Christ in that matter. And if you are here, you've been saved and baptized, and you know this is the place God wants you to join. You've talked to myself or Brother Caleb or one of the men about it. You may take care of that as the Lord leads during invitation time. But those of you that have school age especially, and even those of you who don't, and one of the reasons I preach this tonight is to say to the many of you who have grown kids now, no longer in school, that by the grace of God, we plan to keep this thing on course so that your church will be what it ought to be. There are many other factors that play into that. But a healthy, strong, sound school
is a great part of it. The parents and students approaching the school year 07-08, I hope that you'll give your heart to God, give your home to God. Let's jump in. Don't bring any attitudes. Don't bring any negativism. About 6 weeks from now, let's start a tremendous school year and send some more young people off with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. Young people, that ought to be your goal, to go out and build and battle. Productive life, true to God. That ought to be your goal. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. As they play, if you need to visit the altar tonight, it's open. Ready for you to come. While we wait.